With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, hello, welcome everyone to this week's EvoStick Extra. I'm Ben Hughes, and coming up in the show, we'll be previewing this week's big fixture between Blyth Spartans and Nantwich Town. We'll be hearing from Mark Carruthers with a North East perspective, and from a Cheshire perspective, from Redshift Radio's very own Johnny Crowther. And of course, we'll be speaking to James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group with everything that's been going on over the last 7 days or so on the pitch. But to hear what's been going on off the pitch, it's now time for this week's news. Over to you, Ben. Thanks, Ben, and Warrington Town manager Sean Reid and chairman Toby McCormack are calling on their fans and the public to help the police track down the thieves who caused thousands of pounds worth of damage during a raid on the club's home. Shock officials at the First Division North club found a trail of damage left by the raiders when they discovered the break-in at Cantilever Park on Monday morning. As well as damaging six fire doors to gain access, gaming machines and a jukebox were smashed up with cash and bottles of spirits stolen. Anyone with further information is urged to call Cheshire Police on 101 or call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. In other news, Haleshow in Town are inviting their supporters to a fans forum to discuss their start to the season and plans for the future. The Premier Division club's officials say owner Steve Lynch, chairman Colin Brooks, manager John Hill and assistant manager Matt Clark will be taking questions from fans at the event on Saturday the 12th of September. The forum kicks off in the James Grove Lounge at 6pm. That's after Haleshow in take on rivals Michelova Sports at the Grove in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. Elsewhere, former Skelmersdale United coach Andy Paxton will take charge of Prescott Cables for the first time on Saturday in the FA Cup after being named as the club's new manager. The former Burnley, Clitheroe, Prescott Cables, Southport and Skelmersdale keeper left Stormy Corner last week to succeed Neil Prince at Valerie Park after working for more than 5 years alongside Skem boss Tommy Lawson. And finally, high-scoring Nantwich Town continued their run of scoring goals on Tuesday night by defeating newly promoted Sutton Coldfield by 4-1, making it an impressive 15 goals scored in 4 matches by Nantwich Town. And this week, it's a top-of-the-table clash against Blyth Spartans. To discuss the remarkable start and the predicted start, in some cases, of Nantwich Town, there's only one place we can go to Redshift Radio. It's Johnny Crowther. Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Very well, Ben. Yourself?
I'm not so bad. So, this start that Nantwich has had, last season I interviewed the press officer at Nantwich and he said playoffs. I think he got there a season too early. But this season, do you think it's on?
I mean, the start is, as you say, Ben, quite rightly, it's unbelievable. They scored 15 goals in the first 4 games. So they're scoring for fun. You know, I think Phil Parkinson and the management team, they've got a great squad together, you know, a good bench as well. And I think it's early days, isn't it? There's only 4 games in, but and we've conceded every game as well. So it's not all brilliant, but they're playing some great football. I was at the game last night. They turned over Sutton Coldfield 4-1, and they played 15 minutes of, it was just unbelievable football to watch. If, you know, if you're a supporter through the gates, you're kind of watching your real value for money. And he's made some great signings.
What do you think's been the main difference from last season? Because last season, I don't think relegation was really on the cards, although it was touch and go for a while. What's been the main change this season, do you reckon, over the summer?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And my view would be, Parky's, you know, he knows Nantwich inside out. It's his club. He played there. He played, you know, he's got hundreds of caps, under, you know, hundreds of appearances, I should say, Nantwich Town himself. So he knows the club. He knows the academy. To him, I went to the kind of a pre-season game, and it's all about the whole getting involved in the community and bringing it all together. And I think that sense of making sure he's bringing through some of the academy players as well is really important to him. So he's not just looking at experience. He's not just looking at bringing in quality players, which he has done, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But he's also really keen on getting the academy product through. And some of the academy players, Ben, to be honest, mate, they're superb players to watch. So I think it's a mixture of things, but he's certainly getting it right, isn't he, for the first four games anyway.
Certainly. This weekend, it's a bank holiday weekend, and he couldn't have two more tricky fixtures. On Saturday, you've got Blyth Spartans away. Yeah. And then on Bank Holiday Monday, Buxton at home. I mean, if you come out of this with any form of points, then hopes must be high that this isn't a August fluke.
I think what you say there is absolutely spot on. You know, this is a big challenge. Blyth Spartans, I was at the game last year when we played Blyth at home. I interviewed Neil Savell, the assistant manager, after the Sutton Coldfield game, and we spoke briefly about Blyth Spartans. They are a quality outfit. Make no mistake about that. The top of the table, and I'd expect them to be right up there at the end of the season. If Nantes want to prove that they are real promotion contenders or playoff contenders, they've got to go to Blyth Spartans and they've got to put in 90 minutes of quality football. And it will be a very good game of football to watch, because Nantes play the football the right way. They play it on the floor. They've got some quality players, as I say. But Blyth Spartans, you know, take me off to those guys. They've got a great squad as well, and they play some good stuff. And Buxton, as you say as well, nothing's easy. Nothing's easy in this league. There's lots of good players. You know the non-league better than anybody. I mean, the quality in these divisions is superb. And you've got to work hard. Even last night, okay, we won 4-1 against Sutton Coldfield. We went in 1-0 down. They were a good, strong, physical, organised side. But, you know, Nantwich, the big thing for me, if I was to say, what is the one thing that's different with Nantwich this season? Fitness levels. They're unbelievably fit. You know, Phil Parkinson, Neil Savell, who's at Crewe, they're really into that. Danny Griggs and Chris Parks, who's a goalkeeping coach, they're really into the fitness scheme. And you see that. You absolutely see it. They're going all at it for 90 minutes. And that's so important. And you wear teams down when you do that, and they make mistakes, and then you score goals. And that's what's been happening.
What's been your general impression? I know you've kind of touched on it, really, that the football in this league this season, would you describe it as the most open MPL season for a while now, I think? Anyone can get promoted this year, certainly out of 10 or 12 sides, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a real buzz in non-league football. I just think the quality's improving. I think you're getting more people through the gates. You know, you look at some of the successes, you look at FC United, what they've done, my home city, Salford City, what they're doing. It's all brilliant stuff. And Nantwich, you know, are different. And as you say, there's at least 10, 12 clubs there that you could see and being there at the end of the season. You know, the teams that have been promoted, you know, think of like Darlington as well, Salford City, as I've just mentioned, Skelmersdale are a very good side. And we touched on Blyth Spartans, but there's a number of teams, isn't there? As you say, we've just talked about five or six there, and you know it is open. But you know, as a football fan, and that's what I am, and you know, no doubt, you know, like yourself, what we are, that's what you want to see. You want to see competition, and I think it could go anywhere this season. You know, really do, which is great for the neutral, isn't it?
It is. It's very exciting, very exciting. And last question, Nantwich Town, you've touched on the academies. Obviously, it's next door to Crewe, and we've all seen the work that they've done over the years. Nantwich Town going forward is the only way up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, you touched on a great point there. Massive, really important, the connection between the two clubs. Make no mistake about it. You know, Crewe's known for its academy. You know, some great players that have come through there, as we know, Danny Murphy, David Platt, Rob Hulse, you know, players like that, fantastic footballers. Every year, Nantwich play Crewe in the pre-season friendly. I was lucky enough to, I know Steve Davies quite well, lucky enough to interview him after the Nantwich Crewe game. And he emphasised how important it is to keep that connection going. Phil Parkinson, who's the manager of Nantwich, played under Steve Davies when Steve Davies was the manager of Nantwich. It just shows you, like, you know, how important the two clubs are. And also, players from Nantwich going to Crewe and players from Crewe coming to Nantwich. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. You've got John Moran, who's a centre-half, ex-Crewe, brilliant player. And you've got also other young lads who are getting the opportunity to go the other way as well. I think that's really important. And I think if that connection stays as strong as it is currently, and it's improving as well, may I add, I think that can only mean two things, or one thing even, for both clubs. It's, you know, great news, and hopefully Crewe can do well, and Nantwich, after a flying start, can go on to bigger and better things.
Just before you go, would you like to give a plug to Redshift Radio?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Redshift Radio, local commercial station. There's loads of work in the local community. We cover all the Nantwich Town home games. We do a few away games as well. You know, listen to us live, either direct on redshift.co.uk or on MixLR as well. And you'll hear commentary from myself and Murray Watson, Craig Batty. There's a good group of us. Always welcome to hear our commentary. And hopefully, with the start Nantwich has had, we can get a few more listeners as well.
Well, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio, thanks for joining us on this week's Evo Stick Extra. So, for a view on last week's results, as well as a view on, well, the league table in general at this early stage, there's only one place we can turn to. It's now time to bring back a dear old friend from last week. It's James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James, how are you?
Hello, Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. So, up at the top, Blyth Spartans. Well, how did that happen? I'll tell you. So on Saturday, Blyth Spartans had what we suggested was game of the day against Buxton, 546 supporters there, but it took a 90th minute winner from Daniel Maguire to take all 3 points, 1-0 for Blyth Spartans. And then midweek, they went to Hurst Cross in a game which is a tricky away to play Ashton United, and they come away with 2-0. Blyth Spartans, James.
It's looking like the really solid team that we've all said on the podcast a few weeks ago about how they're going to perform. A good, strong striker, as I said last year. And obviously, once you get one over Buxton against the two teams that are 100% records, and Blyth Spartans came out on top.
In second place currently is Nantwich Town on goal difference, on 9 points from 4 matches. And they got there, as we just heard from Johnny Crowther, they got there by beating Marine 2-1 on Saturday. And then on Tuesday night, they defeated Sutton Coldfield Town quite handsomely by 4-1. But for Sutton Coldfield Town, all 4 goals came in the second half. But Nantwich Town, we suggested dark horses, it's proven correct.
Yeah, really good start from them, as we said last week as well. I think coming off, looking at their fixtures, they've had a nice, easy start to the season, as some people might say. But again, it's like momentum going forward, once the more difficult games come into effect. If they can keep the winning form up, teams won't want to be going up to Nantwich on a Tuesday night or on a rainy afternoon to go play football there, especially if they know they're going to have a tough match to play.
Now, obviously, on last week's show, top of the table was Skelmersdale United, and we had Neil Leverbarrow on with a delightful interview on last week's show. And obviously, Skelmersdale United, they played on Saturday and beat Hales Owen Town 1-0. And then what happened, in my humble opinion, is the team then listened to the podcast, and now the wheels have come off. They got beat by Buxton midweek by 2-1. Joking aside, though, going to Buxton and getting beat 2-1 is no disgrace, is it, really?
No, that's not no bad result, especially, again, Buxton playing two teams of high calibre, let's say, in the last week. That's serious fixtures you don't want to see side by side any time in the season, anyway. No. So, fair credit to Buxton. Skelmersdale, again, Buxton on Tuesday night is not an easy place to go and play. And to come away with a goal anyway is more to the merit. But again, it's another loss of 100% record.
Let's just touch on that Buxton thing. As you said, they've had a tricky couple of games this week and they've come out with 3 points. Obviously, they got beat by Blyth, but to beat Skelmersdale United, that's good as well. And proving that I'm correct in backing them for the league title this season.
Yeah, indeed. Like I say, Skelmersdale, everyone was questioning could they maintain it throughout the season as well. But coming back to Buxton, they did exactly the same last year, and coming towards like a couple of games of the season, we're still pushing for the playoffs. They'll want to score triangle one better this year.
A good week for Ilson this week. Colwyn Bay, they travelled to on Saturday and beat them by 2-0, and a 50th minute goal there for Lee Hughes in front of 300 supporters on the North Wales coast. And then on Monday evening, well, what a thriller. A Midlands derby. They beat Stourbridge by 4-3 and really serious ding-dong there. But a good week for Ilson.
Yeah, especially if Lee Hughes is starting to score after his, I think it's only his second game.
He scored on Monday as well.
Indeed he did. So obviously it's a bit of good form for him now coming in. So he said Ilkeston are going to look like a team that are really going to start threatening.
Now, just to let the listener know at home, we're recording this on Wednesday evening, and therefore we do not know the result of Whitby Town against Ramsbottom United. So this next comment might be incorrect, but finishing off the teams on 9 points currently is Matlock Town, who've had, well, a decent week, I'm going to suggest. They beat Whitby Town by 1-0, a goal there by Niall McManus on 89 minutes. And then midweek on Tuesday evening, they beat Rushall Olympic by 3-2 at their place. So, Matlock.
Rushall was a very, very good result for them. Matlock, again, another team that people don't expect to be challenging for the title this year, starting to get a good bit of momentum going, especially after last year where they had that little bit of a dip going towards just coming out after Christmas.
Bit of an iffy week for Rushall Olympic. We just mentioned the result there for midweek, but on Saturday, 2-2 at Grantham Town. But as Andrew Snaith quite rightly pointed out, going to Grantham Town with the athletics track, it is a difficult place to get any kind of result, isn't it?
It is, and again, Grantham a team that do like a bit of defensive play. Seen them last season and seen them a couple of times this year as well, so far. So, again, it's a good result. Anything Grantham, just like it's Sutton Coldfield, is a great result there. But Rushall are starting to falter a little bit in the last couple of games, I reckon, especially after the 6-3 last weekend. But again, early season, you never know. They might just be holding a little bit back.
On Saturday, we headlined this one as Division 1 South champions against Division 1 North champions, and Salford City came out on top at Mickleova, winning by 2-1. And then midweek, hosting Colwyn Bay on Tuesday evening in front of 461 at Moor Lane, and it's 2-2. Salford City, though, it's steady. It's steady, isn't it?
It's steady, and that's what you'd want to think of a team that's coming up. I know everyone was saying about Salford going to walk the league left, right and centre. It takes a little bit of time for teams to settle in this division. I mean, when we come to Downton in the second, that's the biggest point for them. What people said on the last monthly podcast, Salford are going to walk this division. I can't see that now, not at all. It's going to be a lot closer, but Salford are going to need the strikers really on form for the next couple of weeks now.
We can cover these next two teams together, if that's all right. In front of 1,243 supporters on Saturday, Darlington beat Barwell by 3-1. And then on Tuesday night, they went across, into Cumbria, and in front of 684 supporters, got beat at Workington by 2-1. The same night, Barwell won by 3-1. Darlington and Barwell we described as kind of similar in stature and the way they play football, and it's proving the case in the league table at this early stage.
It is. I didn't see that as a 3-1 result personally, but as well, 3-1 sort of game at Barwell for Darlington. But it's a good result there, especially with their shaky start of the season. Effectively 2 wins and 2 losses for him. But Darlington just keeping the ship steady for the moment whilst they get used to this division. It's the first time they've been at this sort of level for quite a while. This is proving to be a tough, tough league. And then next year, if they do get promoted to, say, the Conference North, it'll be even tougher, as last year's alumni have found it out so far.
Marines had a good week. We obviously mentioned Saturday's defeat to Nantwich by 2-1 earlier. However, on Monday night, they went to Hyde United in front of 414 supporters and came away with a 2-goal win. This is it's a good start by Marine.
It is. I was actually at the Marine game on Monday night with quite a few from the podcast having a little
celebrities
adventure. Yes, and I like the way Wayne Hennessy's putting the team out.
Well, hang on, I'm sorry to interrupt, James. Where was my invite? Unbelievable. Right, okay, back to your anecdote.
Yeah. The way that Marine was setting out, they didn't look like they were sticking to a position. They ran Hyde off out of the game, free-forming, let's just say, because they didn't. Every play for the entire, say, the 90 minutes didn't stop moving at all, swapping positions left, right and centre and putting Hyde off the pace. We spoke to Marine's manager after the match, and he says as long as the boys are enjoying the football, that's all he wants. Mm-hmm. They're proving the point at this moment in time, and I think Marine, they're not going to be down the bottom of the table this year, definitely not.
Let me ask you this, James. Was it like watching Holland in 1974?
Very much so, yes. Let's mention that. And they just literally passed Hyde out of the game and just made them look silly. Although saying that, the second goal is worth watching if you've not seen it on YouTube or Periscope yet, by the way. We might link it in the NPL group for people to watch because it was one of them. It is going on a DVD.
Just moving a bit further down the table, Ashton United. Well, what a cracking game on Saturday. Stamford 3, Ashton United 4. Continuing Stamford. We'll come to Stamford shortly, but they're ridiculous this season at this moment in time. But a win there for Ashton United in front of 255 supporters down there at Stamford. And then on Tuesday night, we mentioned it earlier, Ashton United 0, Blyth Spartans 2. Workington as well, who were also in the playoffs last season. Workington had a 0-0 draw at Stourbridge on Saturday. Another good crowd though there, 415 in the West Midlands. And then we mentioned it earlier for Workington beating Darlington by 2-1. Workington and Ashton United, starts, but not bad starts.
I mean, a lot of people would reckon Ashton were going to go health level and be up there right from the start of the season. But they've lost quite a few players recently. And Mikey Black, who was a very popular patron at Ashton, decided to call it time to work commitments. So that's a bit of a blow for them, I reckon. Obviously, off the field is completely different to on the field. But they don't look settled at this moment in time. Hopefully, I'll be able to get to one of their games very shortly to see what they're like at this moment in time. Workington, again, they're still in this rebuilding period and it's going to take a while to settle in.
When it comes to the Conference North sides who've come down, Hyde United and Colwyn Bay, they're both on 4 points and both lie in 14th and 15th respectively. And that's all due to this week's results. Ramsbottom United 1, Hyde United 4, and a hat-trick for Bevins in that match up there in Lancashire in front of 353 supporters. And we just mentioned there Hyde United getting beat by Holland of 1974 in the guise of Marine on Monday evening. When it comes to Colwyn Bay, we mentioned the fact that they drew on Tuesday night at Salford City, but got beat on Saturday by 2-0. Both sides kind of finding their feet, I think, and seeing what it takes to play in the Northern Premier League this season. If I can just switch things around a bit, down the bottom end, we've got Ramsbottom United, only scored one goal in the opening three matches. As we said, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so we don't know how they got on this evening against Whitby. Conceded 7 goals. On Saturday, they got beat by Hyde United by 4-1. A bit of a thumping, safe to say. And like we say, we don't know what the result is tonight. Rame, are you worried for them yet?
I am, especially after watching Hyde on Monday night as well. And even Berkey will back me up on this one. Hyde didn't look interested in that Marine game whatsoever. So for them to go and score 4 at Ramsbottom is a bit of cause for concern, in my opinion.
Sutton Coldfield Town played Frickley Athletic on Saturday, 2-2 in that one, in a match which we said will be a good indication of if Sutton Coldfield can do a bar well this season or whether Frickley Athletic are up for staying up. And in the end, it finished 2-2. Midweek, Sutton Coldfield, I think we mentioned this already, yes. Nantwich Town 4, Sutton Coldfield 1. And just to say, midweek, Frickley Athletic 2, Michelover Sports 0, Frickley.
Yeah, I mean, that good result against that against Michelover there, especially how Michelover started their season. Mm-hmm. But coming back to the Saturday game with Sutton Coldfield as well, we mentioned that last week about the indicator, it really was Sutton Coldfield on home territory as well, against a team that struggled the first 2 weeks of the season to get off the on the score chart. Sorry,
they've got Tyler Williams and John Cyrus scoring on Saturday, and then on midweek it was Johnson and Hinsler. So I think what it's boiled down to actually is probably what Swampy said, where it becomes a team endeavour rather than focusing on one player, and that's proved the case with 4 different goal scorers. So
indeed, yeah.
And lastly, when it comes to these results, I'd just like to celebrate one team in particular, Stamford. On Saturday, Stamford 3, Ashton United 4. We covered that one off earlier. And midweek, Hales Owen Town 1, Stamford 3. I think I'm right in saying, yes, first win of the season for Stamford. Congratulations. But seriously, folks, if you want entertainment, go to a Stamford game at this moment in time. And I'm telling you, Stamford, don't change. Don't change. 4 games, scored 11, conceded 14. beautiful.
I'm just going to say, he's been like that all over the league at the moment. I think I'm right in saying he was 225 goals on Saturday and in the midweek games across all three divisions. So there's not even that many in Premier League nowadays, let's call it like that. So interesting all over the place, but Stamford in particular, as well as Nantwich in the last couple of weeks as well.
I mean, what is that? What is that, James, on average? That's, what is that, 5.4 goals a game? Is it?
Looking at that sort of thing, yeah.
Is that my maths is correct? 4 goals a match, at least. Yeah, so,
and then, so you know tonight, you know the two games we can't talk about tonight so far is going to end up 0-0 now anyway.
Yes.
But, yeah. But, at least that's the thing Stamford couldn't do last year, was score. They've proven the point now, but again, a leak defence can cost them at this moment in time. But you never know.
James Hayes, thank you for dealing with the league. Right, so as we highlighted last week, there is the preliminary round of the FA Cup this weekend, and it would be remiss of us not to mention every single game. However, this is a podcast and it is supposed to be entertaining, so I'm not going to read you the whole list of fixtures in the preliminary round of the FA Cup. So, James, I just want you to mention 3 that you think are of interest.
Yeah. One of them that shouts out to me at the moment is Armfort v New Mills. It's not an all-evil stick game, I know, but New Mills this season at this moment in time hasn't been the best at the beginnings. So, naturally, that is going to be a good test for Mr. Sean Goater. Of course, one is that play in my own darling team if we get through on Friday. Mm-hmm. Another one, Glossop North End against Prescott Cables.
Absolutely, yes.
Glossop absolutely flying high in Division 1 North after promotion this year against Prescott Cables team, who are already minus 20 in the goal difference. Obviously, they changed management this week as well, so that's going to be a good test for Prescott. And finally, Mosley versus Bamby Bridge. Two teams going well in the First Division North at this moment in time. That's going to be probably game of the day on the Saturday, I reckon. Both teams don't deserve to go out in this early stage, but someone's going to have to. So if that's got replay, I reckon, shouted all over it. But it's going to be hard to see one team going out straight away.
Let me throw in 3 of my own, just while James was talking there. I did some little bit of research. Trafford against Witton Albion, I feel, could be an interesting match. Stocksbridge Park Steels against Farsley Celtic, I think, could be a bit of a humdinger. And lastly, there was one more match that I noticed. North Shields, who I'm assuming are in the Northern League, are playing Kendal Town. And I think that could be an interesting one as well.
Yeah, good test for Kendal, seen as North Shields won the Vars last year as well.
There you go, you see. So, for full information on who's playing who, please visit the Evo Stick League website and just go to fixtures and filter on the Emirates FA Cup. Ugh, horrible.
I know.
Anyway, so, James, any last requests before you go?
No, just keep the calls coming, I reckon. That's right. All I need to say.
James Hayes from the Evo Stick NPL Facebook group, thanks for joining us this week. And don't forget, you can get involved and discuss and chat and have NPL bants with James Hayes and the rest of the gang by visiting the Facebook group at
facebook.com/groups/ the NPL, on Twitter at the NPL group, and now on Periscope as well. Me and Brad will come up every now and again and ask to talk football.
Even when you don't want them to, they'll just suddenly appear like magic. James is here. Yay, Periscope. I don't understand Periscope, James. I find it too...
Neither do I, but it's there.
I find it too intrusive. And when the link appears, I just want to click it. And then I'm just met by your shiny, beaming face on the middle of a football field somewhere. It's nice.
Oh, usually once in train station.
Nice one, James. Have fun, mate.
No, it's been same to you.
And good luck against AFC Liverpool. I'm interviewing their chairman tomorrow, incidentally, for the Supporters Direct podcast, I take off my NPL hat and put on my supporter ownership hat. So it's going to be a tricky one for me, that match on Friday.
We can say we're fan ran anyway, so if you need hints there, but we are getting smashed by them.
And you are kind of a Manchester club as well. I know there's a bit of an issue with that kind of geography question, but I deem you more Manc than AFC Liverpool, so I hope you both win. How's that?
We don't want to play Kendal on Monday anyway, so.
That's the spirit, James. Anyway, have a good weekend, mate. Right, enough about the past. It's now time to look to the future. And joining me to look to the future, hand in hand, It's from the Northeast. Press officer from Blyth Spartans and the non-league daily. It's Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi there. Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
It sounds lovely where you are. Can hear seagulls and everything. What's happening?
Well, anyone who's ever been to Blyth will know that it's always like this. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's very sunny. There's no wind whatsoever. If I had known better, I'd think I was in the Bahamas. But no, we've just been doing our squad photographs for the season, and we couldn't have picked a better night for it. It's been a good night for it.
He's not lying, folks. It is always sunny up there. earlier on, we spoke to Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. Obviously, there's a big match taking place this weekend, which we'll come to very shortly, involving yourselves and Nantwich Town. But we'll go through the list alphabetically, and you can chip in if there's anything of note that you think is worth mentioning. Barwell against Marine. We've had some correspondence in. Joe Carberry says, should be a good game, Barwell v Marine. Thank you for confirming that, Joe. And Michael Holland, he's hoping Marine can build on Monday's 2-0 win at Hyde United at Barwell. I'm hoping to go as well. So come on. Also, just to mention, Michael, the burgers at Barwell, it's not been mentioned enough. Nice burgers at Barwell. Thoughts on that one, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Marine had a bit of a shocker of a season last year and narrowly escaped relegation, but I really fancy them to kick on this year. They're better than where they were last season. I think everyone in the league knows that. Barwell, we went there first day of the season and we got a good test. They are quite a direct side. They've got obviously Jamie Towers up front, who's, you know, strong in the air, and they play to their strengths. It should be a good game, but I can see a draw on that one, a low-scoring draw.
It looks like, as you say, Marine aren't going to be struggling like they were last season. They've got to grips with the league. They've got a good defence, it would appear, as well.
Yeah, they're always a well-organised side, aren't they? You know, whenever you go there, it's always a tough game, and they seem to travel quite well as well. As I say, the manager's got them organised, they're disciplined this season, and I can't see them being anywhere near that relegation scrap this season.
Two giants of non-league, and one of whom, both of them have been unlucky enough to receive my predictions to be winning the title, if that's possible for two teams to win the title. Buxton against Salford City. Mark Joyce has come back with War and Peace, so I'll try and pick out the best bits. Be a tough game for Salford, as Skelmersdale United found out on Tuesday. Still fuming, though. We got a win on Tuesday to cancel the loss in the last minute at Blyth. Oh, yes, of course. You've seen them firsthand, haven't you?
Basically, they got a last-minute winner at Croft Park last season, and we've done it this season. So
it's all swings and roundabouts. yes. And Andy McNeil, Buxton to continue as they've started. Salford look like they are taking time to adapt up the books. It is a good time to play Salford. They're still trying to find their feet, aren't they?
Well, they are, and I think Darlington are finding the same as well. You know, you come into this league and it is tough. There's a lot more travelling from what I can see, and well, there is anywhere for us. But it's tough, and Salford have come up, you know, full of in a blaze of glory, if you like. They've got obviously the class 92 behind them, and it will take time. In terms of Buxton, you know, we had a great game against them here. It was 1-0, but it was end-to-end game. Buxton will do well this season. They're always one of those sides that are there or thereabouts. I'm going to go for a draw again. I'm sitting on the fence quite well here, aren't I?
McKenna's been in touch basically to criticise me for jinxing Buxton. But Buxton are they're going to do better this year, aren't they?
Yeah, there will be. But I mean, Mark McIntosh has done a great job there. You know, he's had a lot of changes to make. They've obviously lost Sean Tootin, but they've still got Liam Hardy there, who's always a threat. And I was really impressed with them last week. Defensively, they're so strong physically and mentally. They were just quite unlucky the way it was 91st minute when Dan Maguire scored here last Saturday. And it was unfortunate, because I think a draw would have been a fair result.
Two teams from the Conference North have come down this year, obviously. One of them is, and both of them are more or less had similar starts. One of them is Colwyn Bay. They've got a toughie on Saturday. They're hosting Darlington. Firstly, what do you think of Darlington's start to the season?
Yeah, it's fairly solid. I think they've obviously come into this league with not a lot of knowledge of what's around, apart from, again, I seem to mention Blyth all the time. I apologise for that. But
it's your job to keep mentioning them.
But, you know, they know a lot about us, but maybe not a lot about other teams in the league. It will, again, take them time, as we said, with Salford. But Darlow have got a good backing behind them. You know, they'll be getting crowds of over 1,000 on a regular basis, and that will help them in terms of finance and just having that support as a cheesy line here, but a 12th man. Darlow will do well this season, but I'm not sure they'll do as well as they think they will.
Look at that backhander there, right at the end.
Well, I think it would be, you know, challenging for the playoffs, but I think maybe there was a certain element who thought they were going to come up and just walk the league. But you know, as you know, it never works out that way.
I bet Whitby are dead pleased Darlington are in the league now, so they could take full brunt of you. Anyway, so also Grantham Town, just to mention for Colwyn Bay as well, they've been iffy. It's been an all right start for them, but not the best. Yeah,
that's a good word, iffy. Good mm-hmm. word. They came down and really, and this isn't meant to be disparaging, but it might come out that way. Nobody's really mentioned them mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, being around the title or the playoffs. Personally, I think they may be in the playoffs come the end of the season. Again, it'll take time.
Well,
to adjust.
There's two types of teams, isn't there, who come out of the Conference North. There's the Workington. Who last season, it might be worth remembering, had a slow start, and then after Christmas just suddenly rose up the league. And then obviously the Drolsden and Staffords of this world, yes. and you know, Colwyn Bay, hopefully for their benefit, will be the former.
Yeah, I think the fact that they've come down with maybe little expectation might help them. Yeah. No one's mentioning them. They can just get on with things and get used to the league. And I do genuinely think they'll be one of those teams that could be an outside best for the playoffs.
Grantham Town are hosting Ashton United. Ashton United haven't really started set the world alight, have they, in these early games?
No, we went there on Tuesday night and got a good 2-0 result. But to be fair, we were 2-0 up at half time and they absolutely battered us second half. It was just cross after cross in the box. They arguably had a goal that should have been given, that was over the line, that didn't get given by the linesman. It was a funny old game. I was quite surprised to see Aaron Burns left on the bench on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Surprised, and with my Blythe head on, quite relieved as well, because I think he's one of the most potent strikers in the league, to be honest. But it was a bit of a strange one. Ashton will come good, I've got no doubt about that. I actually tipped them for a second place finish. I still think they'll be there or thereabouts.
Are you worried about Grantham at all? Because Grantham have really started sluggishly.
Yeah, normally they start quite well, don't they? And then, for want of a better word, disintegrate throughout the season. But you do worry. You look at the teams around them in that sort of area of the league, and you just think they're going to have to get going, you know, as quickly as possible. But the further you go into this season without getting a win, the harder and harder it gets, because that pressure goes up and up and up, and they're going to have to get a win from somewhere. Unfortunately, I don't see it coming on Saturday.
One of the teams down at that bottom end of the table is Hales Owen Town. Lewis has been in touch to say, home to Workington, I printed some arrows off to point at the goal. Winky emoticon. So, Hales Owen, that I watched the highlights against Stamford, and Stamford, I know it's only highlights and they can only show the goal clips, but Stamford really, want of a better word, battered them, really.
They did, yeah, and it seemed to all come from crosses as well, mm-hmm. so I don't know if there's an issue with the in defence with Hales Owen, that all the, you know, there was no one marked on crosses and simple finishes as well. No one's being made to work for goals by the sounds of it, but Hales Owen's a tough place to go, you know, it's a tight ground, it's always a good atmosphere down there, and the pitch isn't the greatest, so it's quite difficult, they're quite direct. They will pick up points, but they need to do it quickly.
Rob Lloyd, I'm going to end on this fixture with a comment from Rob Lloyd. Hoping Workington gets stuck on the M6 and we get awarded the points. He asked then, does that count, Ben? I'll have to check with Alan Alcott, but I don't think it does, Rob, unfortunately. Hyde United, we mentioned them previously, against Matlock Town. Ian Richardson, hoping Matlock can carry on their encouraging start in our first visit to Hyde for 11 years. Matlock have got to be hopeful in this one, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I mean, the way Hyde came down was horrific, wasn't it? You know, they were relegated very early on in the season, and no one likes to say that. Again, no disrespect, but it almost became a bit of a joke. I think there was a Twitter account called, was it Have Hyde Won Yet? Something like that. However, over the summer, they seem to have regrouped and got themselves back together. Another side that I think might be an outside bet for the playoffs, Matlock are one of those places that it's always difficult to go, and they mm-hmm. seem to be travelling well. They did sort of back end last season. But I do think Hyde will win that one quite comfortably.
Ilson against newly promoted Sutton Coldfield Town. And Sutton Coldfield, again, are you worried about them this season?
I'm worried about the travel down there. that's a long old journey down there. Again, they've come up, they haven't adjusted very well. You know, they've taken a couple of heavy defeats. It's going to be difficult for them. Again, I keep saying this, but the longer you go in that season without picking up points, the harder it gets. And I can't see them getting anything on Saturday. Ilkeston been through a lot of changes in the summer and lost a lot of big players, but they brought in a talented group of youngsters.
And it seems to be coming together now. I know we're only a few games in, but they started a bit sluggish and now they're starting to move a bit now, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I interviewed Gavin Strachan for Non-League Daily a couple of weeks ago, and he was very confident about doing well, but wasn't getting ahead of himself. And I think, you know, with his experience, admittedly, as a player, they will kick on this season. Again, another one that will be in that group of, you know, maybe fourth to eighth and challenging for the playoffs.
What a game this is going to be on Saturday. Ramsbottom United against Frickley Athletic. And Frickley, all of a sudden...
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it open for the listener to decide what that blank space was.
Frickley are always there, aren't they? They're one of those clubs that you don't relish going to there. It's a hostile environment, not overly hostile, though. It's just a difficult place to go. They're always hard to play against. You know, they're a hard-working outfit. And they'll be hoping to have a better season this season.
Rushall Olympic against Mickleover Sports. That one sounds, just on paper, no disrespect to Mickleover and Rushall, but that on paper to me sounds like a mud bath. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure
they know what I mean.
Mickleover, they're not a bad footballing side, to be fair. We played them in the FA Cup last year, and when they were flying in the league at the time, and they gave us a good test. We scored in the 94th minute, I think it was, to go through. So I think they might do all right, Mickleover, which obviously will mean they'll finish 24th now. But, you know, it'll be a tough game. Rushall are actually one of my dark horses this season.
They're a couple of people's dark horses.
Yeah, they've invested very well. You know, they've brought in some good players, and they've really strengthened. I think, was it Luke Benbow went there, I think, possibly, from Stourbridge. Who's always going to get goals. And I think they'll do all right, Rushall. They're always a solid mid-table side, but I think they might kick on a little bit.
Skelmersdale United against Stourbridge, and obviously in recent shows there's been a lot of discussion about Skelmersdale United. They've done us all a favour and have now dropped to third in the league for this weekend, so we can stop this narrative. What do you think?
Are we talking the narrative of that they stay
there till November and then do one.
To be fair, I still think they will be there or thereabouts until January, and then what happens, who knows. They have obviously lost assistant manager to Prescott Cables this week, which is a bit of a blow. It leaves Tommy Lawson on his own, but I'm sure he's more than experienced enough to cope with that. So it's a big test this season for Skelmersdale. They've had a couple of positive years, but not really kicked on, so they'll be hoping to do that this year.
And lastly, before we move on to game of the day on Saturday, Whitby Town against Stamford, and Stamp has been in touch. Last week, he could just confirm the fixture. Today, he's saying, hopefully, 3 points for Stamford after a long trip to Whitby. It is a long trip to Whitby. Whitby are playing really well. Stamford, though, should be buoyed by midweek, shouldn't they?
Yeah, Stamford, another club who's strengthened quite well over the summer, aren't they? They've obviously brought in Greg Smith, who's come in, who's always a threat in this league, you know, puts himself about and regularly scores 20 goals plus. So that'll help them, because I always felt sometimes last season they were just a bit, I don't say lackluster, but a bit blunt in their attack.
You can't call them blunt this season. In four games, they've scored 11 goals.
Exactly, and, you know, that'll be down to Greg causing havoc in the opposition area. I think they'll do all right again this season, but I think it'll be a mid-table. Whitby we had here for what I hate to call a derby, but it's you know, kind of a derby. Whitby are a decent side. They've made some good signings over the summer, and but again, I think they may be mid-table. I think that one will be a draw.
I'm going to go with a 6-0 thriller. Right, so we've delayed enough. Let's deal with this big fixture. Blyth Spartans currently sitting pretty up at the top. One person last week on the correspondence said Blyth are a cup side. Well, not this season. They can concentrate on the league at least till the third round pops up again. And you're playing Nantwich. Nantwich, who, as we spoke about earlier, are straight out of the blocks. And this one, how do you think it's all going to play out?
Well, I think it's going to be an entertaining game. We've got plenty of attacking players who've started the season very well. Obviously, Dan Maguire coming back from Halifax is a massive boost for us. Scored 32 last season.
Yes.
Robbie Dale's always, he's just always there, isn't he, Robbie?
If I can pitch it this way, dear, Blyth Spartans, you've scored 7 goals in your opening four, which is respectable. And you conceded only 2, which is the best joint defensive record in the league thus far. Nantwich, though, have scored 15 goals. So are you just going to be camped out at your own penalty box, or are you going to go for it, do you think?
Wherever we go, we never play that way. I think it'll be an exciting game. I think there'll be obviously plenty of goals by the sounds of it. So, and to be fair, Nantwich came here and we had a great game last season. We won 2-1, but you know there was plenty of shots on target. The game, it was good to watch. And Nantwich are one of those sides I enjoy watching as well. And by the sounds of it, I'm going to enjoy watching them again this season.
Daniel Owen's been in touch to say, going to Blyth with Nantwich Town, it's always a close but entertaining fixture. And now that we're second, having scored 15 goals, and they're first, I don't think that this will change. It is going to be a very entertaining game. Mouth-watering, in fact. And is it going to be on the radio?
It is, yes, on Radio Northumberland. And we'll have highlights on our YouTube channel as well. It should be a good game, as you say, and I think it'll be a high-scoring one. I don't know which way to call it, because it will be one of those ones where it could be anything. By the sounds of it, it could be really anything here. Obviously, I would love to see us win, but it's going to be a toughie.
Just to go through Bank Holiday Monday's fixtures, and there's some proper good games there. Ashton United are playing Colwyn Bay. Brickley are hosting Whitby Town. Marine are hosting Skelmersdale United. That sounds like it's going to be a cracking game. Matlock against Ilkeston, Biggie. Michelover Sports against Barwell. Nantwich Town against Buxton. Wow. Salford against Hyde. Stamford against Grantham Town. Stourbridge against Rushall. Sutton Coldfield against Hales Owen Town. Workington v Ramsbottom United. But I'm going to suggest the game of the entire weekend in any league in any country, Darlington 1883 against Blyth Spartans. How many people are going to be there, and how excited is everyone up there?
Well, I know this is really, really dull, and I apologise, but we're taking one game at a time, so you know we're focusing on Saturday. I sound like a manager now, don't I?
You do, yeah.
It's good, this. It's too many years of playing football manager, I think that's what it is. But no, you know, it's obviously a big game, and Dollar will want to avenge the cup defeat that we inflicted on them last season in the FA Cup. They'll want to lay down a marker to, you know, say they're the bigger club in the northeast. It is going to be big. I know we're taking a few busloads down there, and I think you could be pushing on for 1,800 being there.
Right.
The ironic thing would be if we took 300, I guess, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Being Spartans, but it's going to be a great atmosphere as it was last year, and it's going to be a real test for both sides.
Well, Mark Carruthers, well done. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for doing it all in the lovely surroundings up there in the northeast. Blyth Spartans press officer and editor of the Non-League Daily, Mark Carruthers, thanks for joining us on this week's Evo Stick Extra.
Thank you.
Would you like to just give a plug before you go for what's coming up and where and how people can follow you and what interviews you've got lined up and all that stuff?
Yeah, on Non-League Daily, just speaking to a few people in the league, obviously mentioned that I'd already spoke to Gavin Strachan, but one interesting one is a chat with Kevin Wilson, who's obviously departed Ilkeston. Yeah. That's coming up on nonleaguedaily.com over the next couple of weeks, just to see how he's settling into life at Nuneaton, who've obviously started very well in the league that they're in, which I've gone completely blank there.
Conference.
National League North. I was going to call it the Conference North, but obviously
I'm an FC United fan, and I didn't even know they were in our league. But anyway, go on.
that's going to be a good one. And in terms of Spartans, we've got Radio Northumberland back on board again this season. They're going to be doing a few away games as well that they're looking into before Christmas. So it's all systems go. And the club's YouTube channel as well is doing every game this season, so it's I'm not seeing much of my baby son now, so it's a busy time.
We should say Radio Northumberland aren't covering Monday's match. I'm assuming you're leaving it to Darlow Fans Radio.
I believe so, yes. It'll be down to Darlow, but I'll be there with the camera for the highlights, as Darlow do with their exceptional coverage as well.
That's as long as they don't swear.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Mark, for joining us this week, and good
no
luck
problem.
This weekend. And now for your correspondence. Alex McKenna's been in touch to say, you jinxed us last time, so the only thing I'm going to say is it'll be a tough game for Buxton on Saturday. Now, Alex, calm down. John Gary's been in touch to say, Rugby Town v Coventry Sphinx. Proper old-fashioned FA Cup tie, local rivalry against Sphinx, who have at least four players from Rugby Town playing for them. Ooh, get yourself down to Butling Road, should be a cracker. Indeed, John. Tim Bullock has been in touch to say, Hales Owen, yes. Sorry, I think the phone's ringing. I'll be right back in just one moment, I promise. Tim? No, he's gone. Well, good luck to Hillsow in this weekend. Lloyd Berry has been in touch to say, Warrington, awful start. Must win on Saturday in the FA Cup against Abbey Hay. Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio has said, no idea with Whitby, other than I hope Stamp is wrong. He rarely is though, Andy, that's the problem. And finally, Eddie Mack has said, I agree, Andrew, 3 points for Whitby. So, Stamper, you're outvoted. There you go. And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for a whole new wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. And that, dear listener, is this week's show. We hope you've enjoyed it, and good luck to everyone this weekend taking part in any form of football, especially those sides taking part in the FA Cup preliminary rounds. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with the big debate that's taking place over on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/groups/the NPL. No Evo Stick Extra next week. Instead, we'll be back with August's edition of the proper Evo Stick NPL show. And for you Division 1 people out there, look out for a little tiny extra podcast. There might be something special for you to download later next week, so look out for that one. But from everyone here this week on Evo Stick Extra, I've been Ben Hughes. Thank you to my guests, and thank you, dear listener, for joining me. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.